We need to avoid certain things in our lives. Now, how many know, on a whole, there's things that you should stay away from? Now, how many of you, you're smart enough to know if you're driving down the road and you see one of those big potholes in the road that you should not drive your car straight down the middle of that? If you can, you should drive over it to the side of it. You don't want your tire to go on that. How many know that? How many have ever had the experience that you could not do anything about it and you had to hit it head on? How many have blown out a tire before? How many have had other ramifications from that? And so this idea is this. There are things we are to avoid. All right? There are certain things that we need to avoid in our lives. Now, how many, you don't like certain foods? Anyone not like certain foods? Okay, how many try to avoid those foods at all costs if you can? Now, Sister Tina was a dear saint a few weeks ago. She made some liver and onions. And I tell you, I have not had liver and onions in a long time. And I tell you, I'm not allowed to cook in the house because it smells the whole house up. But oh, let me tell you. Tina brought me some liver and onions in a container. Woo! It was glorious. And I tell you, I opened the lid, and that smell was just awesome. But everyone around started going the other direction. And then I had to wait till after the service because I didn't know how it would affect me. But man, as soon as church was done, I opened that back up again. And before I left, I took a bite. It was glorious. How many would want to eat liver and onions? There's a few of you. Who would want to avoid liver and onions at all costs? Oh, I'm sorry. The next fellowship, we'll have liver and onions, all right? But we want to avoid certain things. We want to avoid, we want to not have a part of our lives. Do you know there's some things as a believer we're not to have part of our lives? There's some things that we're not to be partakers of. Because these are not the fruits of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the flesh. Did you get this? I want you to get this. This is crucial as we look at this. What is listed here is not the fruits of the Spirit. What is listed here are the fruits of the flesh. This is what the flesh produces. This is not what the Spirit of God produces in our lives. We're to walk as children of Him. We're to walk producing the fruit. God produces that fruit in us as we yield our lives to Him. The fruits of the Spirit is what's produced. But when we yield to the flesh and we're not walking in the Spirit, then we produce the fruits of the flesh. And you know who this is talking to? This is talking to the church of Ephesus. This is talking to believers. Remember, what did he say in the beginning? I beseech you, I'm begging you, church. I'm begging you out of love that you heed these truths in Ephesians 4. He says, I want you to get this. Ephesians 5, I want you to get this. I want you to see my heart. He's talking to the church. And the issue is this, how we're to walk this year, to walk in purity, we're to avoid certain things in our life, and we avoid these things. We're going to look at them real quickly. We avoid these by not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. What do we avoid? Fornication. This is that sexual, emotional, lust, feelings, filling the flesh. Now, I want to be kind because of the group we have. Please understand what I'm going to say. There is nothing wrong with relationships between a man and a woman if it's done within the confines of marriage. Outside of that is not acceptable according to the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to become one flesh. And that is a great thing that God has given between a husband and a wife. But this idea of fornication, this idea of any sexual type of sins that goes contrary to the Word of God is what it's addressing. Now, please, hear me out this morning. I know people have different views, but I don't care what your view is. I don't care what my view is. I care about what Scripture says. And I want us to understand this morning. This has to do with not just having relationships outside of marriage. This has to do with what has happened in our world today of perversion when it comes to what God has put together. A perversion within the home, but perversion when God has created man and woman. Let me tell you, there is nothing in between. There is no thing. God has designed you. God has created you to be either a man or to a woman. There is no different. There is no anything else besides that. That's what the Scriptures teach. And we're living in a day where perversion is happening. And this is an idea of sexual sins, and that is feeding the flesh. Let me tell you, I understand that people are being taught different things. And I understand there's great confusion in many individuals' lives because of all the things they're hearing from all these different sources. But let me tell you, the Bible is the source we have. Not just having issues with your gender, but homosexuality is another thing to come out with this. This is another thing that many of our young people, believers, are struggling with, our young people, because of the confusion and the perversion and the things being taught today. Let me tell you, they're taught if you like somebody, even as you like them as a friend, then you must be having the wrong thoughts. You must be having the wrong ideas, the wrong things. Let me tell you, back when you were a kid, some of you, you would hold hands with a girl and not think anything of it if you were a girl. Guys would even do that. There's nothing thought into that. Today you do that, people think something totally right off the bat. And that's the perversion that's being done. Now the problem is people are struggling with those thoughts in their minds. And I'm talking about believers because now they're being filled with the flesh and being taught these things, watching television programs, going to movies, going to different places, being around school, and then being infiltrated with these thoughts and these teachings that this is how it's acceptable. And then all of a sudden they're feeding the flesh, and now all of a sudden they're producing the things of the flesh, and they're producing the things of the flesh. Now they think, oh, I must be homosexual. I must be this, I must be that. And they're feeding the flesh, and they're coming out, and they're acting in that way. This is what Paul was warning them. Hey, be careful of these things, because you're grieving the Spirit of God, because what ought to be produced out of you is the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the flesh. It says fornication. Then it says uncleanness. This is corruption and rottenness. It refers to impure motives and living. So it keeps going. It takes the sexual sins, and it takes those things, and now it moves into having an impure way of thinking, a rottenness, a corruption, a motive about them. The fruits of the flesh is when we are thinking rottenly, okay? We're thinking in a rotten manner. This means we're garbage in, garbage out. All right, this is the idea. Yes, you like my word, I know. And this is the idea that we have allowed. I'm going to coin that word, by the way. We have allowed our minds to be polluted. I'm talking believers. I understand our hearts desperately wicked. Who should know it? I understand, though, Jesus came and he saved me and he gave me a new life and he cleansed me and I have to yield myself to him. And as I yield to him, the fruits are produced. But I understand as a believer that my mind can have junk in it. My mind can become rotten. My mind can have those things. And the Bible says that we are not to be unclean. This. We're not to have this corruption. We're not to have this impure lifestyle that dishonors God and his commandments. We're to follow after God. You see, we follow after our flesh if we yield to the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit that come are contrary to the fruits of the flesh. There are believers that are thinking wrongly this morning. They are unclean. They think unclean thoughts. They're impure. They have the wrong motives. They have the wrong things. Not only do we see uncleanness, but we see covetousness. The greed and the lust. You see, when you are involved in the wrong things, you're thinking the wrong way. Then it's lived out in your life. This is the fruits of the flesh. The fruits of the flesh come out in our lives as we go. And what happens is this. We start to want things that we have no business wanting. Get this. I want us to get this. Please, get this. The fruits of the flesh is it progresses and it goes from being involved in the wrong activities, thinking the wrong way, but then acting out is because we get to a place that we now desire things that we have no business desiring. We have no business wanting. This is talking about coveting things and lusting after things that you and I should not have a part of our lives. Do you know it, believers today want things that the world has? I don't understand it. I understand that we are confused. I understand we have issues with it, but we should not want it. You should not want the families that this world produces. But let me tell you, believers today, because we're feeding the flesh, we're having the fruits of the flesh in our lives, we think what is portrayed on television as a good family is what we ought to have in our lives. No, it's not. I'm telling you, what the world is calling normal, as believers are now lusting after, coveting after, and say we want to be a part of it. Do you know God has defined the home? I want us to understand, we're going to look at this in a little bit, a little later, when we get to this in Ephesians. But God has created man and woman, as we talked about. But God has created the man to be the spiritual leader of the home. And God has created the woman to be a helpmeet, to support and to exist together to carry out God's plan in the home. God has also created the woman not to be a doormat, but to be a support and to help and together raise their children and their nurture and admonition of the Lord. But what is being portrayed in this world? What even believers are lusting after, coveting after, want after, the fruits of the flesh, is they want this lifestyle where the woman tells the man how dumb he is. That's not what Scripture teaches. They want what the world says, where the man is the dictator in the home. That's not what Scripture teaches. Where the children raise the parents. That's not what Scripture teaches. But it's the fruits of the flesh. It's the fruits of the flesh that is being produced. You see, there's these sexual, there's these uncleanness, there's the covetousness, there's the filthiness. That's the crudeness. That's the shameful. That's the obscene. What do you mean, preacher? Do you know there's certain things? It's going to break it down a little more because it's going to talk about some of the foolish talking. It's going to talk about the jesting, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But it's talking about being crude, being obscene. You know what walking in purity means? That my speech lines up with God. Do you know there's some things that we know we shouldn't say because your face turns red? Do you know what I'm talking about? I tell you, as a believer, there are some things that we get embarrassed about because we know that as a believer, I should not say those words. I shouldn't say those things. And I tell you, what has happened today is because we fulfill the lust of the flesh, because we're feeding the flesh and the fruit that comes out, we say crude things, we say wrong things, we say disgraceful things as a believer. Wait, that ought not to be in our lives. Because the fruit of the Spirit is contrary to to the fruit of the flesh. Do you know if you say something and you have to apologize for it, you probably shouldn't have said it. Did you get that? If you say something that you have to apologize for, you probably shouldn't have said it. You see, because what comes out of my mouth ought to be seasoned. What comes out of my mouth ought to be pleasing. What comes out of my mouth ought to be the right things. And if I say things that are crude and wrong, it ought to embarrass me. Because I believe I ought to. But what has happened is what Jeremiah says. They've gotten to a place they do not blush anymore. Do you know what has happened? We're not walking in purity because the believers tell the same sick things and talk the same sick way with all crudeness and filthiness that the world does, and we don't even care that we're talking that way. And they can't even tell the difference. You see, if I'm going to walk the right way this year, I got to walk in purity. I got to walk in purity in regards to my relationships with others. I got to walk in purity and having the right mindset and not lusting after, coveting after things. I got to walk in the right mindset of talking and not being crude and not doing those things. But it says foolish talking. That foolish talking is from the word moronic, and it means silly speech. It carries that idea for an individual to talk in a way that would just be silly talk, if you will. I'm not talking about joking. It's going to talk about jesting in a minute, but that jesting means a turning. And it carries the idea of turning someone from that which is good to that which is evil. And this is the whole idea there. This whole idea of foolish talk is talking not in the right mindset, if you will. What do you mean? Well, think about this for a moment. Foolish talking is talking about the things of God and discrediting what God says. Foolish talk is this. I know God says he created man and woman, but that's old fashioned, and I'm not going to stick with that. I'm going to change my way of thinking. I know God's word says this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is silly talk. This is foolish talking. This is understanding what Scripture says and going contrary to what Scripture says. This is going to say, well, this is, I know what you believe, and I know this is what's been taught from the Word of God for 40 years, 50 years, but we got a new way of thinking. We got a new vision from God, and because I got a new vision from God, we're going to change what we believe, even though this book hasn't changed. That's foolish talking. You know what? Believers have gotten to that place that they have allowed foolish talking to enter in. This jesting speaks of the kind of wit or talk that takes someone, something that is said or done, no matter how innocent it is, and turns it into something obscene or ugly. It's that turning. It takes something that's pure and makes it impure. Now, please hear me out. Some of us see this in sometimes children. Okay, children say some of the interesting things. But you know what's bad? Is when our mind is such in the gutter as adults that the innocent, what they say, we make it something that's not good. This is the idea of that jesting. It's not just the idea of joking. Did you get this? This jesting is taking something that's pure. And let me tell you, most of the little kids, what they say is pure. They don't mean it that way. But we take it and we turn it into something obscene or something ugly. That is what the jesting is. It's taking it and turning it in. And it has to do with this, that our mind is so polluted, we can't think purely. Our mind is so polluted, we cannot think purely in our mind. I tell you, how we're to walk, we're to avoid those things. We're to put off those things. We're not to have those things. That's the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. We're not to be in our minds so garbaged up that we cannot even think the right thoughts. But look at verse 4. Again, this is all introduction. We haven't gotten in the message yet. Verse number 4. Neither filthiness nor foolishness, talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We're not to have that thought. What do we have to have? A thought of purity or thankfulness for God. A thought of praise before God. We're not to think to feed the flesh. We're to think to feed the spirit. And our mindsets be focused upon God. Now look a little further here. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Do you see? Drop down to verse 3. But fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named once among you, as becometh saints. Do you know we need to understand this is not to be a part? We're not to be partakers with them, and it's not becometh. It's not what a saint should be. This is not what a believer should be. This is suitable or proper for a saint. Did you know the flesh, the things of the flesh, is not suitable or proper for the saint, the child of God, to be a part of? It's not convenient. It's not equal to our standing. We are to live on a higher plane, if you will. These reveal a wicked heart. It does not reveal a pure heart in us. Get this. He says, you're not to be a part of this. You're not to become like this. You're to avoid this. You're to live on a higher plane. You're not to have this part of your lives. Don't. This does not become you. This is not what a believer ought to look like. We're to take heed and realize this is not what we're supposed to have. Do you know a believer is supposed to look a certain way? I'm not talking suit and tie. I'm not talking physical dress. I'm talking this. A believer is to look like a child of their father. And the child of our father is God. That's who we're to walk, look like. We're to imitate him. You see, the believer ought not to have this. This is not proper. It is not proper for a believer to curse. I'm just going to say it. It is not proper for a believer to curse. It's not proper for a believer to tell distasteful, sick jokes. It is not proper for a believer to be involved in immorality. It is not proper for a believer to do this. This is not your standing. This is not where you ought to be. Why? Because God has saved you, and we understand his sovereignty, and we understand him saving you. And then he sanctified us, and we're to be stand out, be set apart. We're to be different. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be different. We're to be on a higher plane, if you will, not because we're better, but because we live different. I'm not better than anyone in this world. The difference between me and those in the world is I'm saved by the grace of God. And I'm not to be better than them, but I'm to live better than them. Because I have Jesus in my heart. And I'm to live and walk differently because of this. You know what's happening, though? Believers are living the way they want to live and do what they want to do because they're filling the flesh, not the spirit. Well, preacher, that's easy to be said. Yeah, I understand. Scripture says we need to do this. I understand that we need to remove this out of our lives. We need to do all this. I understand that, preacher. I do. But it's not easy to do this. And I'm not saying it is. But you know what we start to do? We start to make excuses. We ought to say, well, it just can't be done. I just need to quit. This week, someone reminded me of a song that is a kind of a fun song. And Isaac, can you play that? We're going to go ahead and play that. It's a fun song. I want you to listen to the words of this song. But it's about excuses and how we make excuses. Now, this is a fun song, and then we're going to get to a thought here in a minute. You got that up? Maybe. All right, well, now we got where. Well, if you get that up, let me know. Go ahead and turn to Daniel. Go ahead and turn to Daniel there. I want us to think about this. Hopefully we can get that up. It worked this morning. I don't know what you guys do back there. All right. But I want us to think this. So we looked at Ephesians. We looked at how we're supposed to avoid certain things, how we're supposed to heed this, how it's not what to be ought to be of a believer. And we make excuses, and we make excuses and reasons why we can't do this, and why we can't live this way, and why we can't have this a part of our life. We make all these reasons and all these excuses, and we say, well, it's just impossible. Now get this. I want you to get this. We say this. Well, it's because of the world we're living in today. It's because of where we're at today. It's because of the circumstances. It's because of our culture. It's okay to adapt this. No, it's not okay. We say, well, you don't understand the pressures. You don't understand all that's happening. And many believers continue to feed the flesh instead of the spirit. But in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want us to get this. I want us to understand this for a moment. This period that Daniel lived in was very much like the period we're living in. The period Daniel was living in. He had the pressures. He had the wickedness. He had all that was going around him. He was in a captivity. He was in this place in his life that would have been easy to feed the flesh and go ahead and just do what everyone else was doing. But Daniel didn't do it. Daniel didn't make the excuses. Daniel didn't get to that place in his life. What does the Bible say Daniel did? What did Daniel do? I want you to get this. What did Daniel do? Daniel purposed in his heart. What does that mean to purpose? You want to be able to succeed and walk in purity this year? Get this. I want you to get this. Pay attention, please. Do you want to walk in purity this year? Do you want to walk the way God wants you to walk? If we're going to walk that way, we have to purpose. What does that mean? We make a plan in our lives that we're going to be determined. We got a purpose. We got to determine that we're not going to feed the flesh, that we're going to feed the spirit. You know what? You're just not going to wake up one day and be spiritual. You're not just going to wake up one day and walk in purity. You're not just going to walk up one day and have everything just fall into place. We have to be determined and purpose that we're going to live for God and live in purity. It takes work. It takes work. The Christian life is not easy, but it is easy because He is strong when I'm weak. It's not easy in ourselves. We have to, it takes work. It takes us going to and understanding that we need to be determined and not be influenced by this world and have the plan that God wants us to have to live the way God wants us to live. You got to make a plan. Well, how do you feed the Spirit? How do you feed the Spirit? You got to be in prayer. You got to be in God's Word. And you got to be asking for God's strength. You got to be in that place where you're asking God, God, I need you to help me have the strength to live and be determined. God, I need your help to have the right way of thinking. God, help me not to feed the flesh, but help me to feed the spirit. God, I need your strength. I need your help. We must purpose. But I want you to see this. We must have a principle. Not only do we need to have a purpose, we need to have a principle. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. What does that word defile means? It means to make impure. David did not want to bring himself to the place that he was not pure in God's sight. He says, I don't want to be impure. I don't want to defile myself. Now, how many, when you're out in a hot summer day and the sweat is pouring down you, you're looking forward to a nice cup of ice water, maybe with a twist of lemon. And oh, I tell you, it looks good. What happened, Brian, if you're out working hard in your yard and you want that water? And your lovely wife starts to bring it out, but she has a spoon of dirt. And she takes just a little and sprinkles a little dirt in your cup and stirs it together and then hands it to you. Does it look as appealing as it once did? Does it look the way? No. What does that little bit of dirt do in a big glass of water? It clouds it. It makes it impure. It's no longer pure, cold water. It is dirt, mud, gross, gritty, nasty. Do you know, as we think about this, Daniel said, I purpose in my heart, I have a plan. It didn't just happen that day. I want you to get this. It didn't happen just that day that he said, I'm not going to do this. It was back when he was younger and he started getting himself into that place in his life. You know what? It doesn't happen overnight. You got to start making the steps today. You got to start making the plans today. You got to start doing that today. And in your life, you got to make that plan in your life. Then you make that plan in your life. Then you have to understand the principle is this. The principle is I am God's, and because I am God's, I can't allow impurity in my life. The principle we got to live on, this body is not mine. I'm bought with a price. This is not my temple. This is his temple. This is his. And because this is his, I can't have impure things in my life. And I make the plan. I make the plan in my life. I do those plans because this is God's. This is not mine. This isn't mine. This isn't mine. This isn't mine. This isn't mine. It's his. He's bought me. I am his. And because I am his, because I am his, I can't allow myself to be impure. I can't allow myself to feed the flesh. I have to feed the spirit. It says, but Daniel purposed in heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know what he did? You know what he did? He went the step further. I want you to get this. This is what it takes. Get this. He had the purpose. He had the principle. But he put it into action. Some of us say we don't want to feed the flesh. We want the fruits of the Spirit. We don't want the sins that we talked about in Ephesians 4. We want to have the right mind. We determine that we have a plan. We make a plan, and then we purpose, and we understand our principle. Our principle is we don't want to defile what God has, but then we don't put it into action. Do you know you got to put it into action? It's one thing to write it down on paper. It's another thing to take what's on paper and do it. How many of you have made budgets before? And how many of you have done budgets, and it stayed on the paper and never used the budget? I think all of us have been there at one time or another. And how many of you have done a budget and you use the budget and it actually works? Okay? And then we are dumb because we go back to not doing it again, right? We understand how that works, right? But the idea is this. We got to take and have a determination. We got to understand the principle, but we got to put it into practice. What does it mean to put it in practice? It means that we go, and we do what we said we need to do. Do you know what needs to happen with believers? We need to do what we said we know we need to do. I believe everyone in this room knows that we're not to feed the flesh. I believe every one of us know we need to feed the Spirit. I know every one of us knows we're not to be involved in sexual sins. I know understand we're not to covet. I understand we're not to have foolish talking. I think each of us know that in our lives. You know what we need to do? We need to start putting into action what we know we're supposed to be doing. It took faith. He had to step out and he had to ask. He had to say, wait, I know I can't. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I don't want to do this. I know why I don't want to do this. But now, King, those in authority, I need you to hear me out. And I need you to grant me my request. Because I can't do this. Do you know what we need to do? We need to step out and do what we know we're supposed to be doing. There are so many believers today that are not living in purity as we should. We know what we're thinking. We know the wickedness. We know what we're involved in. We know this is not what becometh a saint. We know we're not to be partakers of it. But we haven't put into action and done what we're feeding the Spirit, not the flesh. The Spirit, feeding, not the flesh. Feeding. The idea of walking in purity, not the flesh. And it carries that idea, and And we're going to look at next week as walking as children of light. And so the thought continues in our life. How we're to walk this year. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take the key principles and thoughts we've looked at this morning. Lord, I pray you just help us to heed your word. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about. Just stand with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about. Pianist is going to play in a minute. As she's softly playing,